Fastest 2 hours in sports, my tookus.
Diego Pavia.
Thank you. Welcome into Chris Thomas tonight at 6:07 here in the great city of Atlanta.
I pumped him so hard.
Exactly. And you know what? As the process, the result of that steak is now I'm on at 6:07. 404-726-0929. No, in all honesty.
How about Okongwu?
Yeah, Okongwu. Onyeka Okongwu. Yeah. How about him? How about those Hawks last night? Yuck. They didn't have anybody. And can I just ask the question to y'all? What in the front is going on with Kristaps Porzingis? Is he sick? Is he ill? Is he injured? What's going on? I thought they had that whole thingamajiggy where he like had trouble breathing or whatever was going on. I thought that was figured out. I guess not. I thought they were going to be managing it, not missing three straight games. What's going on there, KP? Is he going to be on the move for the Atlanta Hawks? I don't know. 404-726-0929. We're going to talk Falcons, of course. Going to take your calls here in just a second. Big day here on the station as Bell and Friends continues. And tomorrow, I will be taking my rightful place next to Mr. Bell at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. So make sure you come on down between 2 and 6 and have a brew and have some wings. Hopefully some of our regulars will be there. Tinker and Hasselhoff and the crew, hopefully they all come by. And we want to see you there as well. Before I get into the Hawks, Oren just alerted me. We had a couple of weeks off in between making our picks. And I had a little bit of an accounting error. I have been accused of points fixing in my own favor. I had Oren at 25-15 and myself at 23-17, but I was corrected by the Big O and saying, Turtle, you're 4 games out, not 2. I was like, humming. What are you talking about? And he rightfully corrected me.
It's those Thursday night games. I think I've got you on.
On the Thursday night games, the last couple, he has gained a game. And I forgot to include those, and I was wrong. So I am actually 21-19. So there is a accounting error, a rounding error, unintentional as it may be. There's still drama now surrounding these picks, and I am running out of time. 4 games back. It looks like I'm going to be giving Oren a nice brown bottle of something here in a couple of weeks as the football season comes to an end. But Falcons fans, we got to talk. Let's go. Yesterday, you know, I was mad about what Raheem had to say. And listen, it is what it is. He's disconnected himself. I put out a tweet last night that got a lot of run, a lot of comments, a lot of reaction, and it read the following. Raheem Morris made a decision to put up a sizable wall between he and the fan base. That decision has backfired tremendously. And it has. His decision to say emotions are for y'all, the roller coaster's for y'all. We know what he's saying, but at times like these, when you're 4-8 and you need your leader to come out and step up, just misses the mark, man. So we had a long conversation about that. But today, let's talk. Because we're at a crossroads right now where I think most of us want to still think about 2025. And what's in front of us with Seattle and L.A. and the Saints and the Bucks. But I think we're all smart enough to understand that for this team to run the table, it's after losing to the Jets. I mean, let's just be honest about what the state of this team is right now. So here's my question. I was thinking about this today. Where did I want to take the direction? And this was the thought that popped up into my mind. How much do wins matter for you personally for the rest of the season? Like, are you going to feel good if the Falcons win 2 or 3 more games for the rest of the year? Or are you at the point where wins don't matter and the most important thing is the growth and development of the young core? We talked about this before, when it was more of just an idea, or to quote your friend Steak, an idea, when it was more of just an idea that was floating around. Now, unfortunately, this is the reality of where we are. Now, if you say wins are still important, I certainly am not going to shout you off the radio. And here's why. This team just needs a morale boost, man. Things are so bleak right now. To just win a couple more games to end the season on a positive note, you know, would just hopefully put ourselves in a position just to feel a little bit better. Because you can't really feel much worse right now, right? At 4-8, quarterback injured, wide receiver one injured. Who knows if he's going to play? We'll have Tori McElhaney on at the top of the hour. She's got all the latest on the injuries. Or is it just like, nah, Turtle, I don't care about the wins at this point. Just let me see James Pierce and Jalen Walker go after the quarterback. Let me see Xavier Watts try to pick the ball off again. Let me see, you know, Bijan Robinson and Tyler finish the season strong. What's the most important thing to you as we hit a point in the season where, you know, let's be honest, you don't have a first-round pick. So the record, if you win six or if you win seven, what does it matter? You know, once they're math, and there is a scenario where, unfortunately, I saw this today, Fox put out the graphic where if a couple of things break the wrong way for the Falcons, Oren, they get officially eliminated this weekend. Not good. Yeah. So with that on the table, what do you value more? That's what I want to know, Falcons fans. What you out there listening, what do you value more? Stacking some wins and heading into the offseason feeling at least a little better than we do now. Cousins looks like he's getting better week over week. You know, the defense, if they can finish strong, you get some more wins and you feel decent. Or is it more just about, you know, we got some nice young players here. Let's see them grow. Because we don't know some of these guys. Like, what is this team going to do in the offseason? Are guys like Onyemata, Ellis, Bates, are they potentially capital to try to recoup some picks? You know, are these guys that you wouldn't consider giving new deals? What are we looking at? We know guys that are going to be here. AJ's going to be here on the back end of the defense. Xavier Watts is going to be here. Divine Diablo is going to be here. We know Rook and Dorless are going to be here. So are you more watching for those guys? Or are you saying, nah, Turtle, we need to get some wins, man. We need to just feel better about this thing because 4-8 right now with a loss to the Jets, that taste is about as sour as it's possibly going to be. And we need to do whatever we can to get ourselves back in a position to wipe this taste out of our mouth. Because it sucks right now. I mean, there's no getting around it, folks. It sucks right now. You're 4-8, and you lost to the Jets. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, is it all hope is lost? No. I think, again, we talked about this either late last week or early this week about, you know, can this team be the Bears? Can they be the Lions? Can they be the Patriots? Can they be one of those teams? I think they can if you get the right coaching staff in here and you spackle the team. But what do you want to see from this team the rest of the way? Is it just about getting some wins, stats be damned, because we need the morale? Or is it more about seeing what we got and what we know is in-house already and what's going to be here, finishing the best way possible, even if you don't get the dubs? So we'll take your calls. 404-726-0929. Got the whole first hour. Cleared the books. Taking your calls. It's me and you on the phones. 404-726-0929. Where's your priorities at right now, Falcons fans? We'll take your calls. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight on 92.9 The Game. How much do wins matter to you at this point? Because you can make the argument, let's just feel better about this season the best that we can here down the stretch. Stack as many as we can. See this thing off the right way and put this miserable season to bed. Or are you more in the camp of, nah, I don't care about the wins and losses at this point. No first-round draft pick. So let's just watch some of these young studs that we got try to lead us into the next generation of Falcons fans. Lines are full, so let's get right to them. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas Turtle with you for the next hour leading into what should be a really fun Thursday night game with the Cowboys and Lions. Tim leads us off. Tim.
Yes, Chris. I want to start out with Kristaps Porzingis. And as a Celtic fan, he's a guy you love him when he's healthy. Unfortunately, that's the story of his career. Just his body is too brittle to go through an 82-game season. And that's just too bad because he's a good guy and sometimes a great player. But it doesn't surprise me he's having the physical problems he's had so far this year. But let's get to Raheem Morris, please. If you're a true Falcon fan, you need to go to the stadium this week, and you need to have the chance to fire Morris with the rhythmic applause. This guy is incompetent. He has no business being a head coach in this league. I would go so far as to rather have take a chance on Bobby Petrino. Yes, that's an exaggeration, over this incompetent buffoon that has just embarrassed this team, given the amount of talent that they have. And going forward, Bijan, I just want to see Bijan healthy, play great. And I love Bijan Robinson, but in the offseason, I would shop him around and ask for 3 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders and see if I could get that type of package. Love you, Bijan. But I think we just need some new people in the above Raheem Morris and get the things restarted again. And the number one person to go, to be gone, can we ever get Rich McKay out of the Blank organization? I don't think Arthur Blank would let him go.
Tim, I hear you, and I thank you for leading us off tonight. There was a lot, weren't a lot packed into that call from Timmy there. Porzingis appears to just be injury / illness prone, unfortunately. I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain here in Atlanta long term. That's my concern with him right now. You're not getting 3 first-round picks for Bijan Robinson. Although, Tim, I will say this. You are rapidly approaching a group of Falcons fans here that are in the camp of I am okay with shopping our best players. And that, to me, is crazy. Not crazy in the sense that it's crazy to think that it could happen. Crazy to think that this is where we are, right? The fact that we're even having remote conversations about is this team so far behind the eight ball that they need to consider trading their best players in order to recoup draft picks because that's where this team needs to be. And that's one thing I do say, Tim, that is not crazy for you to say. I'm not doing it, not in a million years, but the fact that so many fans between the Falcons flyover and tonight have called into this show and talked about that is just beyond alarming to me. It really is. So Raheem Morris is not going to go anywhere between now and the end of the season. But, yeah, let's just see. You're in the camp of let's just see these players through, get them out of the season healthy. Wins or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter at this point. Totally understand. Yo is up next. Yo.
What's happening, Turtle? So I am listening to that young man who just called in about Kristaps Porzingis, and I kind of agree with him on the point of that's a very expensive player who is not available a lot.
20 mil.
Right? But when it comes to the Falcons, we have a whole different problem that no one really wants to address. This is the Grady Jarrett problem that we had. This is the Julio Jones problem that we had. Look, we are in a position right now where we're going to face a team on Sunday that their offensive line, all 5 starters, cost about $17.5 million total. We have individual offensive linemen that cost $20 million each. We are in a position where no one wants to get rid of the older players on our team who might be underperforming or performing at an adequate level, to where we say that they're shoppable. You cannot have a team in the NFL where your offensive line costs more than the rest of the offense, but your 29th in third down conversions. We have an issue, and the issue is we get attached to these players, and we act as if you can never move on from them. You act as if $20 million for a left tackle is equal to a full starting offensive line for Seattle that costs $17.5 million. Look, I love my team. I am not giving up my tickets. I am not giving up my fandom. What I am saying is very simple. At some point, you have to be able to move on from the older players in order to make room for the younger players who are actually going to make the difference. Bijan is not the problem. His left tackle, his right guard, oh, well, and the right tackle cost him $15 million. He didn't play a snap this year. Yeah, that's the problem, bro. Love you, Turtle.
No, yo, I totally get it. You've been on this beat. I give you credit. You're doing your homework. You're looking up the numbers. Yeah, Jake Matthews has not played worth a $20 million tack. Here's the thing. You can justify the spending if it works. The Patriots right now, Orin just told me he looked it up, their offensive line is making $40 million. So here's the thing. It can work if the players play up to their standards, right? But, yo, to your point, they haven't this year, and that's what makes the spending that much more glaring. So in order to say, you know, we're going to finish the season strong here, a big reason to do that and a big reason to watch is to see if Lindstrom and to see if Matthews and to see if Neuzel finish the season strong because they've been up and down the entire year, to Yo's point. Let's see what Owen is thinking. He's up next. Owen.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm a season ticket holder. And at this point, you know, I really don't care what the Falcons. I don't care if they win. I don't care if the guys are making – I do care if the guys are making some strides. But how are they going to make strides when you don't have a good coaching staff in here? It's just like me being a teacher, and I'm teaching kids – and I don't know what I'm teaching them. And they keep making the same mistakes over and over. It's not some of the players. It's the coaches. If nobody wants to take in the accountability, which is the coach, he doesn't want to take in accountability for his coaching staff. How do you think the players are going to get better if you're not leading them and you're not teaching them and putting them in the right places? This is the problem. The problem is you got older players in here, but they're not being led by a person who has any experience themselves. It's like going to war with a whole bunch of buck privates, and you don't have any sergeants and the lieutenants lead. So at this point,
well, oh, and here's the thing. I need to make a small change to that, and I'll let you finish. He does have experience. He just has stunk. He has over 50 games coaching in the NFL, and he's 25 games under 500.
Have any head coaching experience? It's showing up that he does. He's not a proven head coach. That's what I mean, sir. A head coach, an assistant coach, and a head coach, there's a difference. So thank you for taking my call.
No, I appreciate it. Owen, Orin, he has 50 games coached as a head coach in the NFL, and he's lost 25 of them. I mean, that's what it is. It's not good, to Owen's point. So I don't understand the confusion there, Owen. But to your point, it's not been good. It's tough to say they need to get better without a true leader. You're right. Joe is up next. Joe.
Hey, I'm a Falcons fan. And when I say I'm a Falcons fan, I'm a true Falcons fan. I'm not one of the ones that are on the bandwagon when they're doing good and burning the town down when they're doing bad. And when they talk about coaching staffs, I think about Bill Belichick because I'm from Cleveland. And I remember Bill Belichick having Nick Saban on his staff and just having a great staff, you know, but they didn't do well. I think part of our situation is having players be accountable for the mistakes that they make. I record all the games. I watch all the games during the course of the week, win, lose, or draw. And I see so many situations where they're in the right scheme, but somebody dropped the ball. Somebody missed the tackle. Somebody slips on the play, you know, and we blame the coach. Now the coaching staff is doing their job, but the player's not doing their job. What are we expecting? So in a nutshell, I'm going to continue to watch the birds do their thing, and I'm looking for improvement in each area to give me hope for next season, because personally, I love Arthur Blank. I don't think Raheem's going anywhere. I think he's going to get a stern warning.
Why? Why do you think that?
Well, history shows me that Dan Quinn was in the refrigerator a little too long. I think if Arthur Smith wasn't so burly, we'd have probably spent another year with Arthur Smith. I think Raheem has good talking points. I think he can articulate better than Arthur Smith when he sits down and talk with Arthur Blank. And I think Arthur's going to look at, you know, the injuries. He's going to look at, you know, some of the players, as two callers ago mentioned, who are older, but they're not, you know, producing.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If that happens, yeah, how do you feel about that?
That's what the rest of the season is for. If I see that they're making strides, and to be honest with you, the last two games, I saw the offense doing better than a couple of the games where we were asking ourselves, what the hell is the offensive coordinator thinking of? So the last 2 weeks, I've been seeing an improvement. And the defense has been steady during the course of the year. Granted, you had injuries in the secondary, and they still have been steady. So I really believe that if they continue to make strides, that I will be happy with – well, excuse me, not happy with the return, but I would be willing to be open-minded with the return.
Wow. Appreciate the phone call. That is certainly, Oren, I believe, a unique perspective on this whole thing. We've taken hundreds of phone calls over the last couple of weeks, and I think you might be the only one to have said that. Interesting. But, hey, it's not – because, Oren, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked to D-Led, and I asked him, I said, is it a fait accompli that Raheem and Terry are gone? And he said, no, no, no. He said, there is a very much a path for Raheem and Terry to come back. Okay, we'll see. AJ, Alexander, David, you guys are up first. Grab a line, 404-726-0929. Got another full segment to take your calls on Chris Thomas tonight. We're talking Falcons. Before we get back to the busy phone lines, want to remind you that it's a huge sports weekend in Atlanta, and tomorrow, Dukes and Bell get it all started with a special broadcast to Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Join us from 2 to 6 p.m. for all the food, drink, and scenic views as we get ready for conference championship weekend in college football. That's Dukes and Bell tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. at Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And if you missed it, I will be doing the show with Mike Bell. I am looking forward to reuniting with him and Day Day and Big O and the whole crew. And come and join us at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, 2 to 6 p.m. 404-726-0929. AJ leads us off this segment. AJ, go ahead.
Turtle, what up, man? Hope you're having a good night. I did miss the topic a little bit. I heard a little bit of Hawks and Falcons conversation, so I'm going to preface it by this, man. We give enough attention to the Falcons, who are a team that's below 500, just incompetently run. So I'm going to focus on a team that's playing above 500 ball. And I think a lot of Atlanta fans should start tuning in. I'm going to talk about our hometown Hawks, brother, if you are okay with that,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, go ahead.
So listen to this, man. We got a guy right now, and I can't even remember if this has even happened in Hawks franchise history, that's averaging a triple-double in contention for probably most improved player of the year, maybe an all-NBA team in Jalen Johnson. We have the best off-season free agent signing on this squad. And not only that, that guy is turning into an ascending star. And, you know, I heard a couple of the callers, you know, lamenting on Kristaps Porzingis, whatever. My thing with that is he's coming off the books. It was kind of a low-risk, high-reward move if it worked out. And the games he's been able to play has been good. And I think Hawks fans should be happy about that because we've seen the ascension of Onyeka Okongwu, a big question mark that we've had the last couple years, and he's coming into his own as a player. So my question to you is this. The Hawks have maybe or are in the best position that they have been in years in terms of flexibility with their roster, what they can do to maybe cash in those assets. All this has been happening without their star player Trae Young on the sideline. Turtle, I'm curious to see what your take would be on how the Hawks should move forward. Should they look at a guy like Giannis? I'm seeing that, you know, being a rumor. I'm seeing, you know, Ja Morant, LaMelo Ball, which I think would be a huge downgrade from Trae Young if people are not on the Trae Young bandwagon. Or do we stand pat, keep Trae, see how he comes back and accumulates with the team, man?
Yeah, appreciate it. Good energy there from AJ on the call on the Hawks, who should get their flowers, absolutely. not last night, but they didn't have anybody, so that's not their fault. Last couple of games, actually, oh, they have failed to break 100 points. Not great. But they still are 13-10 on the season without Trae Young, to AJ's point. It's funny you bring up those guys specifically. Oh, did you catch the article on ESPN.com that talked about the future of Ja Morant, Trae Young, and LaMelo Ball?
Yes, the GM, Western and Eastern Conference GMs and scouts offered each individual, and I say that because if I get my phone to unlock here, I took screenshots of all the ones that were said about Trae Young from the different scouts. So, anonymous Eastern Conference scout, he's just small and doesn't play defense.
Yeah.
Anonymous Eastern Conference scout, he might be the ultimate floor raiser, which has it value, but he's definitely imperfect.
And the Hawks are not looking to raise their floor. They're looking to compete.
Yeah. His offensive impact is so great. And then somebody said on all three of them, LaMelo, Ja, and Trae, I wouldn't want any of them.
Well, do you think that – here's the thing. To me, LaMelo Ball is the classic good scorer on a bad team. I don't know if he translates to a winning basketball player.
He takes a lot of shots,
and
man.
Bad ones too. Ja, I think a change of scenery could be just what he needs.
I think something's up with him health-wise, man.
Well, he also doesn't have the jump that he used to have.
Yeah, so, like, the athleticism for him is he's a bit floored right now in the most literal sense possible as a guy whose game was like way, 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 way in the clouds.
And then Trae, of course, we know is an elite offensive player, but almost equally as bad on the defensive side, which is the trade-off that you make. Listen, what do we always, to AJ's question, what do we always come back to, Oren, is the Atlanta Hawks are not a better basketball team with Trae Young not on it. And that's still true. And I really do believe that to this point. But I think we are also seeing there could be LWOT, life without Trae. I do think there is a path. Because if he wants the full Maxi extension, you giving it to him, all? I don't think I can.
We talked about this offseason how the Hawks front office, Antti Salleh, wanted to kind of mold this team for this year. But not just for this year, but the years going forward. So you're not handing out a bunch of money. Like the fringes that you have this year, they fit this team very well. And Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Luke Kennard, so on and so on. But I think Kennard is like a one-year deal. Nickeil has had a long-term deal. And it's not a lot of money on that either. So the idea is that you're not tying yourself up so far down the line in future monies that when things become available – or, say, for instance, you end up with the top three overall pick in next year's draft, courtesy of the Pelicans, you're not tied into what's going on the year before. There's flexibility for you to sort of say, all right, we have our three guys right now that I want to say are the core of the Hawks. And that's Reese Hoshea, that's Dyson Daniels, Johnson. And that's Jalen Johnson.
Everything you're saying is true unless you give Trae Young the max.
If you give Trae, then you're tying him into that also. But
and he's making $50-plus million a year.
I think there was another ESPN article, too, that talked about how don't sleep on the fact right now that the Hawks front office and management aren't looking closely at this team and how they're playing without Trae Young. So sort of that, you know, do you or don't situation right now for the Hawks. Do you lock yourself in to Trae long term and kind of get rid of that future financial flexibility that you might have in being able to look for something different or to build if something else comes around? Or, you know, there is no Trae here next year and going forward, and you have that large chunk of free agent change to go acquire somebody else, not to mention you have that future top five pick courtesy of New Orleans.
Is there a contender that could use him? Because all trades become available December 15th, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure that's the date. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's go to
I think, though, whatever happens, I don't think they move on from Trae in a trade. I think Trae stays here for the rest of the season because I think they want to
and
win.
And they just let him walk?
And then, maybe I think they'll let him walk.
Wow. That would be something. Alexander's up next. Alexander, what do you think?
Yeah, how y'all doing? Good. Man, I think if the Falcons start winning, I think a little bit of energy. It's the holidays, man. Let's get some little bit of good energy, you know, for the holidays. The Falcons win, you know, people might have a Merry Christmas. But an even more interesting point about these Hawks. In my opinion, I've been watching the Hawks for a little ways, man. I didn't think they really wanted to give them the $215 million for five in the first place.
Well, they didn't. It just kind of they didn't, Alexander, right? Because they didn't give it to him.
Right. No, I'm talking about because, you know, that's what he's currently under his contract. But they kind of had no choice because
You mean the current contract he's under?
I didn't think they'd want it because, hear me out. Remember, if people remember, he was hurt. Then they had DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray started balling with his individual play, but at the same time, the Hawks really wasn't getting over the hump. When Trey came back, he hit that game winner, rolled the dice over the New York Knicks. Kind of that summer, that's when they gave him the contract. So in my opinion, I might be wrong, might be right, but they've been looking to kind of get off Trey, but it's kind of a pull and struggle because he's a box office star and also he produces in the playoffs. Now, hear me out for this, right? Trey, if you put Trey on the Rockets right now, they could be going to the finals. So he does have value in the league. My thing with it is, it's just such an interesting dynamic of when we need youth and when we need talent and when we don't. Because look at franchises like the Clippers, right? The way they're doing Chris Paul, even though you might not want to hear him, he's a little older. If we're going to treat a Hall of Fame superstar like that, what does any of this work in the league even mean to superstars who paying the way? Because if the young talent is not going to listen to a Hall of Famer, who are they going to listen to, and how are you going to really get organizations to get to that pinnacle if somebody like that in that situation can't even get his voice heard based upon his resume? I feel like it's a deeper conversation for a deeper story in sports. Even if you look towards a situation like Grady Jarrett, it kind of just goes under the radar. Grady Jarrett didn't really even get his flowers leaving the Falcons, you know? And it's kind of like a different conversation for a different story as far as...
Well, here's the thing. But here's the thing. Haven't you seen from Ansi Saleh at this point that he's kind of a no-nonsense, cutthroat kind of guy? That's what I'm seeing from him, at least. 404-726-0929. I don't think Ansi Saleh gives a crap about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, at this point,
he does not seem like that kind of guy at
that's
all.
That's what you want in a GM, a guy who's not going to be. Don't want
flowers.
Hawks for life.
Yeah, flowers. I mean, no. Yeah. That Ansi Saleh is more to give you some coal in that bag.
No,
that
man.
I don't
want to hear, somebody's a Hawk for life.
No, I like that from Ansi. I think that's why he's been able to turn this team around so quickly. Ron is up next. Ron, we're talking Falcons and Hawks on 92.9 The Game. What do you got? Ron. All right, let's go to David. David's up next. David.
So the Falcons, you know, they've lost several games by, you know, a couple of points, and it's
five
been a lot
one
of
score three. Games, five.
Yeah, so they've had some bad luck, and I understand that. Raheem is not a head coach; he's an assistant coach. I think anybody can agree with that. But I'm going to tell you something, Turtle. I want you to elaborate on this. I noticed something in the season. When that happened, I noticed things changed. Please tell me what happened with that situation.
Yeah, appreciate it. We don't know for sure. The little information that has come out about that situation is the following. It is reported that there is a rumor going around that, again, we have not been able to confirm, that Ray Ray was not happy when Raheem Morris let go of wide receivers coach Ike Hilliard. And because of some machination of events and some transpiring of events that happened after that, they decided to move on from Ray Ray. What exactly happened? We don't know. Raheem says it was, you know, a team issue. It wasn't he didn't call him out. He didn't say he cussed out this guy in the third. He said it was performance-based. It was what's best for the team. So we don't know. But that is the only sort of rumor and innuendo that's come out since then. Again, it's unconfirmed, and nobody's been able to confirm it, that there was some situation with Ray and the coaching staff that transpired post the firing of Ike Hilliard. Appreciate everybody who called in, 404-726-0929. If you want the latest and greatest Falcons information, we'll take more of your calls. Plus, Tori McElhaney stops by, senior reporter for AtlantaFalcons.com. Is Drake going to play this weekend? We'll ask her all that and more coming up next. Final 30 minutes of the program here, leading you up until coverage of Thursday Night Football. Should be a really, really good game. Cowboys and Lions fighting for a playoff spot. Can't wait to get home and settle in and catch that one. But plenty to do before we get there. Like right now when we head out to the WadeFort.com hotline, welcome in our good buddy Tori McElhaney, senior reporter, writer for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori, I think the most pressing question right now is, what is the status of Drake London? How has he been progressing?
Yeah, so as far as Drake goes, I know that Raheem Morris said earlier in the week on Monday when he was speaking to media that Drake certainly has a chance to play this weekend, but over the last 2 days of practice, he hasn't been out doing his normal reps. He was a non-participant on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll know a lot more tomorrow, but considering he hasn't taken any reps at all with Kirk Cousins over the last couple of weeks and hasn't been out at practice since he suffered that PCL sprain, I worry about where we're at now, where you would see him potentially be up on Sunday. But I think it's still up in the air. It's still a possibility. But the fact that we haven't seen him practice for 2 days, I think the writing seems to be on the wall a little bit.
How surprised were you versus the Jets that, given the state of the wide receiver room, that both Kadarius Hodge and Casey Washington didn't suit up?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. It's why I asked Raheem Morris about it on Monday. I presented the question of, like, these are two guys who have been very important to your depth. And over the last couple of years, you have free agency capital, draft capital in these two guys. And they were healthy scratches. I mean, Casey Washington has been a healthy scratch for the last 2 weeks now. Kadarius Hodge just this past week. And his response was that it was a performance-based decision and that they felt like they were getting more potentially from some other guys who they ultimately decided to have up on game day last week. It could change this weekend, but the fact that it's now been – the fact that you had your number one guy in Drake London, who's been out for 2 weeks with an injury, Darnell Mooney, we know, has not been producing to the level that we saw him last year. You no longer have Ray McLeod on this roster at all. The fact that all of those things happen, and then kind of your fourth, fifth, sixth-ish guy in Kadarius Hodge and Casey Washington are healthy scratches, I just think it doesn't bode well for a receiver room that I think you have to – kind of see what you're going to do in the off season about retooling it potentially around Drake London. I think that's kind of where I sit right now if I'm looking at this group.
Another week, unfortunately, of massive, unacceptable special teams blunders. But Raheem did come out and support Marquise Williams and his staff. Are you surprised after the latest set of circumstances that was the tack taken?
I don't think so. I think that when Raheem Morris was asked, you know, point blank about, you know, comparing the Ike Hilliard firing to what all of the questions regarding Marquise Williams is he said that it was a very different set of circumstances, that yes, that performance, it is a performance-based decision, but that he mentioned something about communication being better, and he said communication with him and Marquise, communication with Marquise and the players that he oversees was in a much better place than what it potentially was when we saw the final days of Ike Hilliard's tenure here. So that's kind of what Raheem said in response to that question, and I think for that reason, it's why I'm not necessarily – surprised that there wasn't a different decision made.
When it comes to the state of the wide receiver and the tight end room, Kyle Pitts obviously leading the way last week with Kirk Cousins seemingly coming online. Do you feel like that could be something that could be seen by Zach Robinson and company as a repeatable formula, especially with Drake London projected to maybe miss at least another week?
I think it has to, right? Like, I think that if your receiver room is kind of down and out a little bit, like, you need other avenues of which to, you know, you need other avenues. And Kyle Pitts is kind of the number one in the pass game. Like, that's kind of what your number one would look like. And, you know, you use Bijan Robinson and in different ways. And, but I think about this game coming up against the Seattle Seahawks, and this is the best, one of the best run defenses in all of the NFL right now. What they're doing in terms of stopping the run over the course of, you know, 14 weeks of a season, it has just been very up there. I mean, top three in the league in a couple different categories. So you go into this game knowing that it's going to be probably tough sledding running the ball with Bijan Robinson. So you got to get some of these receiver options ready to go. And that includes absolutely Kyle Pitts. And you saw what he did last week. I think had 82 receiving yards last week. And you're going to want to continue to see that level of output and production from the connection between Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts, especially if Drake London is not going to be out there on Sunday.
Talking all things Falcons and Seahawks with our good buddy Tori McElhaney. Make sure you check her out at AtlantaFalcons.com. Speaking of Kirk, it seems like, I think, to much of our surprise, based off of the way that he looked versus the Dolphins and his some of his relief appearances this season, that the more time he's gotten to shake off the rust, the better he's looked, especially last week, I thought, was the high watermark of this season by far. Are you surprised by that, or was it seen throughout internal discussions that they still believe that Kirk has a little bit more magic left in him?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a guy who has, you know, over a decade's worth of starting experience in the league. Like, I think that he was in very weird and different circumstances than he's ever been in coming off of the Achilles injury last year. And now we find out more information just about kind of like why the Falcons made certain decisions they did in terms of scheme and pistol versus under center. And I do think that we are seeing Kirk Cousins be more in form with what he was potentially his last couple of years at Minnesota when he was fully healthy. So I absolutely think that that plays into it and into the decision-making, into the level of which we see Kirk Cousins playing. But I also think that, I mean, again, he's a veteran in this league and he's seen all of it. I do think that when I look at the last couple of games in that Jets game, specifically the end of the game, that those last 2 minutes drives that the Falcons had, I felt like Kirk Cousins was putting the ball in receivers' hands. He was making the right decisions. He was making the right throws. And it's not really, I don't put it on him that those balls weren't caught. And I think it's why, even going back to the very first topic of what we were talking about, is like the Falcons need more from this receiver core. And I do think that Kirk Cousins and what we saw him do and try and get the ball in the hands of his playmakers in the 2 minute drill last week, that was evident that Kirk is trying to do that, but it didn't, the connection wasn't ultimately there. But I don't put that at the feet of Kirk Cousins based on what we saw last week.
What do you make of sort of the confounding situation with the defense where they have really good sack numbers? They're top five in the NFL. They play really good for the majority of the games, but it just seems like, Tori, that this has been a bugaboo, not just this season, but the last few, that when it comes down to crunch time, the defense isn't able to make the key stop at the end of games that they need to close out the deal. We know that they've had very little luck in 5-1-score games this year.
Yeah, it's actually something that Jesse Bates was asked about today in his press conference. It's about, like, why can't that the defense kind of get over the hump in that way? And he kind of didn't really know either, because we have, to your point, like, we have seen this defense play very, very well at times. And we've even seen them when the time is, like, when it matters the most that they make a play, we've seen them make a play. But for some reason recently, that's not been the case. And Jesse Bates kind of said, you know, I don't know if it's because you have young guys going through some things for the first time and you have new guys playing with each other and you're trying to figure each other out. He's like, I don't really know exactly what the cause of this is, but it is something that I feel confident in the defense being able to turn that performance around. It's interesting because Will McFadden, who's my podcast partner and editor of our site, we were talking not too long ago just about, like, sometimes it really does feel like the defense particularly will play really, really good sound ball for 80% of the game, but then there's this 20% where the mistakes or the miscues or the scrambles that they allow quarterback to make, like, become super detrimental to the overall scope of the final score. And it's like, sometimes you feel that way about the team entirely. And I think it's a kind of a microcosm of where this team is and why they can't ultimately get to the point of holding on to leads and then surpassing and getting to a win at the end of the game.
Before I let you go, what did you make of the comments made by Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris about using Kirk Cousins more under center as opposed to Michael Penix staying in the pistol?
Yeah, I think to me, like, actions speak louder than words, but words can help us kind of find the middle ground of what it means. I think the fact that the whole pistol under center conversation, we know that Kirk Cousins is an under center play action guy. Like, we saw him do that for majority of his career. And so I do think that that him coming off of that Achilles injury last year did affect how much the Falcons could work from under center, like in terms of how much strength he had in that foot and how much he was able to do, especially during the install of it all. And I think that personally, that was maybe even to the detriment of Michael Penix Jr.'s growth and development, that an entire install of maybe the first year of this group is like, we're going to be operating out of pistol, out of shotgun a lot, not a lot under center. And it's like, and Michael Penix didn't really do a lot of that in his college years. So it kind of became a perfect storm where you move forward with Michael Penix as the guy and as a starting quarterback, but you haven't given that enough time to develop that part of his game, time to develop, because you had to go to him sooner than you thought you would. And then you didn't feel like Kirk Cousins was healthy enough to do the under center stuff. Like, I think that there is this huge ecosphere of why the Falcons are in the situation that they are in right now at the quarterback position, and the pistol versus shotgun versus under center is kind of the avenue of which you can kind of see that most.
Before I let you go again, real quick, this one just popped into my head. I know a lot of Falcons fans are wondering. We know you're in the building every day. A lot of Falcons fans would like to hear from Arthur Blank, the owner. Is there any, whispers or anything going on at Flowery Branch about maybe the way he feels about what's going on right now, or is that all tight-lipped?
Yeah, no, not really. I think that Mr. Blank normally does his end-of-year press conference. I believe it's usually the week of the Super Bowl, and that he has been doing that for years, and I don't really think we'll see that change this year either.
Yeah, I figured as much. Just, I know a lot of fans are wondering, you know, with another year of disappointment, maybe he would have made a statement or something of the like. All right, Tori, appreciate it. As always, we'll check in soon. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, that is Tori McElhaney there, senior writer and editor, as well as host for AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, I'm four games behind Orin, man. It's not good for you, boy. We'll try to make up for it tonight, though, leading you into what should be a fantastic Thursday night football game, Lions and Cowboys, right here on 92.9 The Game. Thanks again to Tori McElhaney for jumping on. Good stuff there. If you missed it, just search Chris Thomas Tonight wherever you get your podcasts. It will pop right up. Bit of controversy surrounding the picks, as I was alerted to right before we came on the air. I messed up. I forgot to count, or it's not that I forgot to count. I gave myself too many wins, because Oren correctly pointed out to me that he stomped the yard on me with a couple of Thursday nighters that I forgot to include in the total, and your boy gave himself a little too much credit. So the actual correct line right now is Oren is 25-15. He's been killing it all season long, right from the jump. I thought I was 23 and 17, but I am actually 21 and 19. So I am 4 games behind the Big O, and he is sniffing that winning bottle of liqueur.
Oh, I smell it.
At the end of the season, it would snap a 2-season win streak for your boy.
Would.
And rightfully so, Oren.
It's not over with that. Not over yet.
No, but you have been ahead the entire time. I don't think I think you started with a lead and never looked back. So we got 3 games to pick tonight now that Georgia Tech's chance at the playoffs has officially come to an end. So, Oren, we will start with tonight, what is a really good one. Now, I just checked the line again, and for me, it moved. I had it at Detroit -3, but I'm looking at ESPN.com right now, and it has it at 3.5. So I don't know if that will influence your decision or not, but we'll start with the Thursday nighter. The Cowboys were red hot traveling to the Lions, who were struggling a little bit. Both of these teams need this win badly to stay in pace with a hot NFC playoff.
I think that half point might have gone up because of Amon-Ra Brown being officially active tonight.
Yeah. Oh, he's active.
Yeah, he's active tonight.
I thought he was out.
No, he's playing.
Oh.
He's officially active tonight.
Wow.
So that could have been, the half point jump could be because of that.
Oh, that's nice.
Does that change something for you there?
Yeah. Maybe. Because my whole theory was they're not going to be able to throw the ball.
Well, that might change some things.
Yeah, that must have just happened. Or happened since I got on the air, because he was so questionable last time I checked. That's a big deal. Where do you have this one?
I think I got to ride with the hot hand right now, man. Like, Dallas is...
They're playing really
well. Yeah, they have managed to just sort of...
Quinnen Williams has been a beast of an addition.
They've put it together,
Pickens,
man.
Finally decided to stop being a knucklehead.
CeeDee Lamb is not dropping balls. At least he wasn't last week. Dak is playing weird. Like, nobody's talking about Dak right now, the MVP race.
I am. He's my fantasy quarterback. He's been great.
And they need to be because Dak is very quietly putting together a rather spectacular start to the season. So, I'm going to ride with the hot hand. Give me Dallas +3.5.
Yeah, me too. As much as I want to say Amon-Ra could change the entire fate of this game, and it could, because he'd go off for 150 yards and
he
two
could.
Touchdowns.
He could.
He very well could. He's obviously not 100%.
He's not, no. He could not finish that Thanksgiving game.
Right. So,
hasn't really done a lot of practicing this week either, even though they're doing the simulated sort of – guesstimation, estimation, practice reports. But even with that, he wasn't doing anything. So
yeah, Cowboys could win this one 27-20, and you're clear by a wide margin on that one. So yeah, so give me the Cowboys on the road +3.5.
We'll go 3.5 with it?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll go 3.5. Okay. All right, so we're 1-for-1 there. Does UGA slay the dragon this weekend? What is is it 2-8? Is that Kirby's record against Bama?
It's something horrible, man.
It's awful. It's really, really bad, including a loss already.
No, I think it's 1-8. Yeah, I think he's only won one game.
1-8? Is that what it is?
It's the national championship game. That's it.
Wow. I mean, Georgia
hasn't beat him in an SEC championship game yet. Hasn't done the same in a regular season game yet.
Let's say this flatly. Georgia's better. I don't think there's any question about that.
They are a better football team.
They're better.
1-85 versus Alabama.
They're better.
They're more talented.
But is Ty Simpson going to do what he did last time and, like, slip sliding away and sidearm throws? And
the
just
real
backyard
key, man, is
football?
Is Drew Bobo being out, man.
That's tough.
As much as I want to go full in with UGA, the pause is coming right now because of what he means to the run game and just how that Tech game turned in the second half once he went out.
That was such an ugly game.
You could just tell. You could see noticeably just without having that anchor in the middle. And you've had a whole week of practice now with the guys that you have, and Kirby hasn't exactly given out he hasn't given out who's going to be the starting center on Saturday. It's for an offensive line that was beginning to find its way and was getting healthy with Ernest Green and Dontrell Glover and Juan Gaston, all those guys just getting healthy. getting healthy at the right time. This was a real big blow. Pat Forty was on Dukes and Bell today, and he said, until Georgia beats Bama, you got to ride with Bama, right? So this is the Georgia fan in me saying that. Give me Bama plus the 2.5.
I'm taking Georgia.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking Georgia. I got to make some moves here in this thing, Orin, and this is a perfect one to do it.
That being said, though, too, if Georgia can minimize the turnovers, if they can get Bama off the field on third down, I think Bama that first game.
Bama also has a couple of key defensive injuries.
They do. LT Overton, who had the really big stop of Cass Jones late in that ball game, the first ball game is going to be out, and he's one of their biggest defensive linemen slash sack guys, too. So Georgia just has to be able to limit turnovers. We saw what happened when Nate Frazier, the first time they played, had a fumble and then was basically put in witness protection for the second half of that ball game. You did not see him again. Chauncey Bowens is going to be back, so you're going to have more firepower at that running back position. And then Bama, I think, if I'm not mistaken, converted like their first 8 third downs of that first football game. Like every third down conversion they got. So put Bama in not so manageable third and long situations. And that pass rush has come along a little bit more now, and the secondary has come along a little bit more now too. So you got two aspects of that Georgia defense that weren't as strong in that first matchup that have sort of found their footing. So
Seattle is a 7-point favorite on the road.
This is
at the Atlanta Falcons.
This is the absolute for a team that's struggling. This is the wrong matchup at the wrong time because this is
– and Seattle needs the game.
They need the game. This is a defense, man, that is just – of all the defenses you've seen this year, this one might be, like, the most intense. The
that
best one you've seen all year.
Is,
they're animals, man. Yeah. Boy, and my family, Leonard Williams and those guys on the secondary is – yeah, it's about as complete of a defense as you're going to get right now in the NFL.
Hate to say it. I'm taking Seattle -7. I have to.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the Seahawks -7.
I can't pick against you in all these games and get further behind.
Just,
I have to pick my spots, man. We'll see. We'll recap this week, and hopefully I'll get the tallies right. But O is currently up 4 games. That'll do it for this edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Really, really, really fun matchup Thursday Night Football. Lions and Cowboys coming up. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the free Odyssey app.
Night, 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 night,